just move forward, please, to make room for the people coming out. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'firuhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Arsalahu bil haqq bashiran wa nadhiran bayna yaday as-saa. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We praise Him. We seek His help. We seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own selves. Whom Allah guides, there is none who can lead Him astray. And whom Allah leads astray, there is none who can guide Him aright. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, alone and without partner. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the truth as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner ahead of the hour. Verily Allah and his angels send blessings upon the prophet. O ye who believe, ask blessings upon him and greet him with the worthy greeting. About. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we all know, one of the names for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran, is a dhikr, which means a reminder. And you heard me say before that the shortest thing, in my opinion, in existence is the human memory. We forget things very quickly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and He knows that about us. And so He gave us the book of Allah, a dhikr, a reminder, to help us to know the sirat al-mustaqim, and to help us to know when we're off of the sirat al-mustaqim. Guidance, huda from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshaAllah, today in the khutbah I would like to remind you of some of the admonitions of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us stay on the sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَنْ كُتِلَ مَذْمُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا وَأَوْفُوا كَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصْرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا
ولا تمشي في الارض مرحا انك لتحرك الارض ولا تبلغ الجبال طولا كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها ذلك مما اوحى اليك ربك من الحكمه ولا تجعل مع الله الها اخرى فتوك في جهنم معلوما مدحورا صدق الله العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in his book in Surah number 17 ayat 31 through 39, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kill not your children for fear of want, for we shall provide sustenance from them, for them as well as for you. Verily, the killing of them is a great sin. Now, we know that the pagan Arabs in the time of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to kill the female children. They used to bury them alive. This is not what Allah is talking about here specifically. Because Allah says, "Auladukum," children, male and female. This is not that killing of them, well, I'm too ashamed to see that I have a daughter, so I'm going to bury her. This is that killing of children that takes place even today among the people, they call it pro-choice, where they kill the children because they don't want to pay for them. They're afraid they can't afford them. I can't pay for this kid. How am I going to take care of him? So rather than do that, they kill him. This is a negation of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he will provide for them and you. So it's not you that have to provide for them. Their risk is already with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Written, ready to come. Just as yours is. So the non-believers, they believe they have to provide. And they become scared. The shaitan threatens them with poverty and bids them to conduct unseen. So Allah warns against this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Nor come nigh to zina, adultery or fornication." Adultery between people, two people who are married to somebody else other than who they have relations with. Fornication, two people who are not married. Allah says, do not come near this. It is a shameful deed and an evil opening. Meaning that it's a shameful in itself and it opens the way to more shameful things. Number one, it opens the way for the first ayah. Because people commit zina, either adultery or fornication, the woman gets pregnant, and if she's married, she don't want her husband to know, so she killed the baby. If the two people not married, they don't want anybody else to know, or they don't want to have to come together and make it so they kill the baby. From zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is shameful and it is evil and it opens the way to other things. If the man catches his wife with somebody, he kills the other person, kill the wife, vice versa. So you see some of the evils that Allah is warning us against in this kind of activity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and take not life which Allah has forbidden except with just cause. And if anyone is slain wrongfully, he has given his heir, meaning Allah has given his heir authority to demand qisas or forgiveness. But let him not exceed the bounds in the matter of taking life, for he is held, meaning by the law. So we know in this society, someone commits murder, they kill somebody, they catch the person. Who is it that decides what the penalty for this person is? It's the state. The family of the people, they may get a chance to say what they want, but it's no guarantee they get what they want. The state decides. A judge will sit there and decide and weigh that matter of the case, and if he decides to let the person live, they live. If he decides to give the death penalty, he does that. But in Islam, it is not the place of the state to do that. is the nearest relative of that person who was murdered. He has the right. It is his right to ask for the life of that person, or to forgive that person, or to accept what we call dia, which is blood money, a payment. These days they call it wrongful death compensation. But it is in place of that life of that person, and it is up to the nearest relative of the person that was killed. So these are the rights of the people that Allah gave them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a hudud, a boundary on that right. Because he told the person who has the right, don't exceed that right. Meaning, someone shot your relative. Now you want them killed, but you want them ground up in a meat grinder, put in a fire alive, or some type of torture till they die. You can't do this. This is not what happened to your relative. You can only do what happened to your relative. Because Allah says the person who is making that demand, he has the law on his side. So don't abuse that. Don't abuse the fact that the law is behind you to try and take revenge on someone beyond what the crime is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come not nigh to the orphan's property except to improve it until he attains the age of full strength and fulfill commitments, for every commitment will be questioned in the day of judgment. Now we know in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone who didn't have a father was considered an orphan, because the father is the one who provides and takes care of him. So sometimes, many times, the care of this orphan person would be put into the hands of another relative, a male relative or a close friend, or someone that the family or the father trusted and asked to look after his child and the property of his children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that don't abuse that. Certainly if the person is poor, then he had the right to use some of the money to maintain himself, a specific amount. Some of it. If he's rich, he has no right to use any of it. If he accept to improve the situation for that person, if he knows that there's a building that is going to produce X amount of dollars, and it's fairly sure that it's a good investment, he can invest, or he can buy cattle or property for that person to improve his work. But he cannot use it for his own purposes, and he cannot use it up before the person attains the age of where he has control over it, so that the person won't have anything when he gets to be that age. So, these kinds of things were done verbally. So Allah says, honor your commitment. If you make a commitment to take care of that for someone, then you have to take care of it, you have to do it right. This is Islam. And when you make a commitment about that or anything else, follow through on the commitment. And we know people, yes, brother, I'm going to be there to help you next Thursday. Don't worry about me, I'll be there. Brother, you coming? Oh, well, you know, brother, I can't make it, you know. Or is your leg broke? No. Somebody in your family died? No. Well, you said you're going to be there. I know, but I just can't make it. What are you going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, you know, Allah just didn't feel like going. Okay, well, I don't feel like letting you in the jail. Be very careful about your commitments. What you say you're going to do, do it. Unless there's some overriding circumstance that prevents you from doing it. If you don't think you can do it, then don't say I'm going to do it. So give me a call, brother, and I'll see if I can do it that day, if I'm available. But don't make a promise that you're going to be somewhere, you're going to do something, or you're going to take care of something, and then you just let it go because you don't feel like doing it. Again, this is Islam. Stay to your commitments, because every commitment will be questioned in the Yawmul Qiyamah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give full measure when you measure and weigh with a balance that is straight. That is the best and the best of results. possibly talking about fraud, cheating. Don't put your finger on the scale thinking that to make the person think you got 2 pounds of meat and only got 1.5. Don't set the scale to where it reads 2 when it's only 1. Don't sell something to somebody which you know there's a defect in it, but you hide the defect. We know that these are the prophets of Allah themselves. He went to the marketplace and he examined the fruit of this one vendor selling fruit, and it had rained the night before and it spoiled some of the fruit. So what the man did, he put the bad fruit on the bottom. He put the good fruit on the top. And the Prophet said, well, what is this? When he brought his hand out with him, he said, well, Ya Rasulullah, it rained last night. The Prophet said, did it rain from the ground up? No. Don't hide the defects of what it is you're selling. This is dishonest. This is fraud. This is cheating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and pursue not that of which you have no knowledge. For every act of hearing, seeing, and the hearts will be questioned in the day of judgment. So don't say things that you don't know anything about. Don't say you saw something if you didn't see it. Don't say something about somebody if you don't know if it's true or not. That's not legitimate. You have to see it. If you don't know nothing about it, say, I don't know. But we know people all the time because they want to be sincere, smart, intelligent, or whatever. You know, which way is it to the 110 freeway, brother? Oh, you go down here, you make a left, you make a right, then you go under the bridge and over. You don't know. Instead of just saying, I don't know, brother, I'm sorry. You know, he'll tell you a lie. He'll give you some kind of story. So don't do this. Don't say things that you don't know anything about. Don't bear witness against something you didn't see. I don't care who it's for. This is a lie. And Allah knows this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as we continue on, and walk not on the earth with insolence, for thou canst not rend the earth asunder, nor reach the height of the mountains. This is about kibbutz. This is about blowing yourself up thinking you all of that. This is about Karun. We all know the story of Karun. Do not walk around like you are more than a human being. You are a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever benefit you have is by the mercy of Allah. So be grateful to Allah and share what you have with the people around you and be humble. As Allah says, وَاسْتَئِنُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّ حَالَ كَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And persevere with prayer and patience, and this is hard except for the humble people who know that they belong to Allah and to Allah is their return. So turn it down. Turn the ego down. This is what Allah is telling you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that all of these things, from the killing on down, all of these things are evil and hateful to Allah. So there's no doubt in your mind that if you killed your children, or if you killed someone, or if you did any of these things, what the position of this thing is with Allah. Allah says it's hateful and evil. You kill somebody unjustly, you blow up a marketplace full of people, how are you going to call Allahu Akbar? This is hateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Women and children dead in the streets from trying to buy food, and you say this is jihad, and you say this is Allahu Akbar, and this is Islam. Astaghfirullah. Be aware, Allah says these things are hateful. And then he tells the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these admonitions are from the knowledge of Allah that he gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he could do what? So he could keep it to himself? No, so he could share it with us, with the people, so that the people would know what Allah likes and what Allah does not like. This is the huda. This is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to send to Adam and his dhurriya when he was expelled from the Jannah. So, it's in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we'll deal with the last part of this ayah and the second part of the khutbah. Qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha wa atubu ilayh. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says finally to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take not with Allah any other God, lest you should be thrown into hell, blameworthy and rejected. This is what he said to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to him, and so he could tell us this as well. Sure, all of these other things are hateful and evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he will forgive these things. If you seek tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will forgive you. لا تعصوا من رب الله إنه لا يعصوا من رب الله إلا القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. Allah says, do never despair of the mercy of Allah. Only the unbelieving people despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of us know what we've done. And Allah knows what you've done. So if you haven't done any of these things, alhamdulillah, don't do them. Make tawbah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to help you to stay away from them as he's helped you to stay away from them up until this point. If you've done some of these, then seek tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. Turn back to Allah and ask Allah to help you to stay away from any of these evil and hateful things that you may have committed in the life of this world. And with the shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he forgives everything except shirk. What this means is, if you die in a condition of shirk, associating something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's no forgiveness for this. For these other things, if you die, Allah may forgive you. But associating with Allah, no. Once you die, that's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, before you die, check yourself. Don't associate anything else with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not your boss, not your wife, not your money, not your children, nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think that something other than Allah has control over the condition that you're in and how you are and what you're dealing with, then you are insured. Because the principle of Islam is inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, that Allah has power over all things, and there is no power, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there is no power and no might except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So watch yourself, be careful, don't give Allah's attributes to his creatures. Because if you die believing any part of that, you will be, as Allah said, in the hellfire, blameworthy and rejected. May Allah help us to keep these things in remembrance. May Allah help us to stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. May Allah forgive us our sins and have mercy upon us. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الذين آمنوا منهم وعلى الأموات إنك أنت السميع القريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسولك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لتخلف الميعاد. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيموا الصلاة.